Well, we're going to talk about the kingdom of heaven today, and Jesus Christ himself was the representative from heaven. He is the heavenly man, and so he came to the earth to show us what it looks like to be a heavenly man, to come from heaven. And he was the Son of God, of course, and so he was also the Son of Man. When he was here, he was in, you might say, a dual nature. He was in his divinity when he was here, but he didn't operate in his divinity. He operated as the Son of Man, and so he did not claim the divinity of God to any extent. In fact, he said he did not claim the divinity of God when he was here. And so we have that message coming in just a minute, but first I want to tell you what's going on here in Africa. We have the children at the children's home are in school now, and so they're studying hard. They have about two more weeks of this term, and then they'll be off for a week, and then back in until December. And so we're taking care of the children. We have about 25 in three different schools. And so if you feel like supporting abandoned orphan children, Living Water Children's Home is a great place to do that. And we also have a great church here, Living Water Church of Makunda. And so we appreciate your support for that church as well. We're trying to organize a crusade over in Tanzania. We've had some difficulty in getting it organized, some challenges, but we're trying to push through and get that established for the end of this month. It may be on into October, but we'll see how we do. Pray for us, as there are many challenges with these crusades, especially when you have a crusade in another country and you have to make trips there to get the team established and all that. So today we're going to be talking about the kingdom of heaven. And I want to start here in Matthew 10:8. And this is a passage of scripture where Jesus sends out the disciples. He's at this point appointed disciples to walk with him. And he is talking to them, and he's been preparing them, discipling them, teaching them. They've walked with him. They've seen some miracles. They've seen some healings, all these things. And so Jesus is preparing them to go out. And he says, well, let's start in verse 5, Matthew 10. And the 12 disciples Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, in other words, to the Jewish people. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so this was a new message. John the Baptist had spoken this message to the Pharisees and to the elite leaders of the religious elite that had come out to him at the Jordan River back in Matthew chapter 3. John had spoken to them, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and bring forth fruits according to repentance. And so Jesus here is also saying, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so the Jewish people, they did not know exactly what that meant. They didn't know what Jesus was saying, and they didn't know what John the Baptist was saying. But what he was saying to them was that the revelation of the kingdom, the revelation of the kingdom man, Jesus Christ, was at hand. And of course, you know, the people didn't have a Bible as we do. They didn't have seminars to go to and hundreds and thousands of books to read on every subject of the Christian kingdom. And so all they had was the law and the prophets, the Old Testament scrolls of the law and the prophets. And so Jesus was saying that the revelation of me, the revelation of kingdom man, or the Son of God, the Son of Man, the revelation is now at hand, and he's going to show you what it means to be a kingdom person. He's going to show you what it means to walk and experience the kingdom of God. And so he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is now. That's what Jesus is saying. It has drawn near to you, and it is now the fulfillment of all the things that the prophets had spoken about over the many years, over the thousands of years, going back to Moses, that fulfillment was there before them in the person of Jesus Christ. And so this is a powerful message that he is telling them. So what he was saying is that when you experience the kingdom of heaven, these are the things that you can look forward to. These are the things that the kingdom of heaven entails. This is what it is made up of. And that was true in the day of Jesus. That is also true in this day and age. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so these things that he is showing the disciples as they go out to tell about the kingdom of heaven, these things are in existence today. You can draw near to them, submit to God, and he will draw near to you. You will be exalted. Humble yourself before the Lord, and you will be exalted. And so the kingdom of heaven is for us today just as much as it was in the day of Jesus Christ when he was standing in front of these people and telling them about the kingdom of heaven. And so you can experience it in your life right now. You can experience it for all eternity after you pass from this life, and your loved ones, if you pray for them and share this message with them, they too can experience it. For those who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and for those who are far off, because the Lord's hand is not too short that it cannot reach out and save, and his ear is not too dull that it cannot hear, and so he hears your prayers. If you're already saved and you have people in your family or friends, co-workers who are not saved, you pray for them. You ask the Lord to reveal himself to them. You ask the Lord to send his angels to touch their heart and remove the wicked things from their life, the things that are keeping them from seeing the kingdom of heaven. If you ask the Lord to do that, he will be faithful and true to answer your prayer. And the people that you pray for, the people of your family, your friends, co-workers, even leaders of this country that you pray for, God will bring them to him, and he will give them an opportunity to make a decision for him and a decision to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Okay, so we're looking at Matthew 10 and verse 8 then. These are the, you might say, the hallmarks or the things in the kingdom of heaven that you can expect to see and experience in your own life. And also when you pray for people, you will see these things come to pass in their life. He says, heal the sick, that's first. Second, cleanse the lepers. Well, that's another type of healing. We don't have very many lepers in the USA. There's some in Africa, and that is a type of healing. Cleanse the lepers. And third is raise the dead. And fourth, cast out demons. Those four things: heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. And so you might say, well, I don't ever have an opportunity to do those things. When have I ever seen somebody dead? There may be coming a time in your life when you have an opportunity to pray for somebody dead, maybe in a car wreck or an accident of some kind. I've had opportunities twice in my life to pray for people that were dead in front of me. And both times the Lord gave them back their life. The Lord raised them from the dead. He put their body and their spirit and soul back together right in front of my eyes. And so if you pray for people that you come into contact with who are in that situation, you will be shocked to see that many times the Lord will put their life back together. You know, there's many, many books written on this subject of near death, what we call near death experiences, or some type of experience where people's spirit and soul leave their body. I'm sure doctors see it who do surgeries and that type of thing. I'm sure doctors see it quite often and would have an opportunity to pray for people who have a near-death experience or a death experience. And so anyway, this scripture, verse 8, there's four different things here that Jesus said. you can do, and this is the experience of the kingdom of heaven. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. And you don't know, beloved, you don't know if you have the power to do that until you step out in faith and start to do it. Start laying hands on people and praying for them. If they're sick, don't always run to the doctor for every little thing or even every big thing. Just trust the Lord and pray. Trust the Lord that He is able to heal people. Many times we run to the doctor first without even consulting God, without even praying about it and asking the Lord if He would heal them or give them some kind of relief or improvement. And the Bible says, go to the elders. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, it says, if anyone is sick among you, pray for them. Go to the elders. Take them to the elders. Anoint them with oil, and the prayers of a righteous man availeth much, or the prayers of righteous men availeth much. And so we need to do that. Let the elders have a chance to pray and see if God will heal. And then also we see that he's saying, cleanse the lepers. Well, again, we don't have lepers. We have people with many kinds of illnesses. We have COVID. We have HIV, many with HIV here in Africa. And then he says, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And so you have received. It's not your power. You're not risking anything when you pray for healing for people. You're not risking anything when you pray to cast out demons. The Lord is your power. The Lord is your authority. It's not your power. It's not your authority. You are under authority. If you are a born-again believer, you are under authority. And so the Lord is your authority. And you can cast out demons and you can see them flee. You can see them scream. I've seen every kind of demon manifestation known to man here in Africa. I could describe it to you. It might scare some of you, but there's lots of demons here associated with witchcraft, associated with devil worship and Satan worship. And so when you pray for people and you have any kind of anointing of God on you, those demons will scream, they will cry out, they will cause people to thrash around and roll around and do all kinds of crazy things. And then they will flee. And they are fleeing because of the power of Jesus Christ. And so he's saying, if you do these things, freely you have received, freely give. Again, it's not your power. It's not your authority. You are under authority. And you speak in the name of Jesus. You speak in the power of Jesus Christ. And you're just like the policeman out there on the road. He has no power of his own. But when he puts that uniform and that badge on and gets in a car that has the star on the side or whatever, then he has the power and he speaks under the authority of the mayor, of the governor, of the president, or whoever he is operating under. Then he has the power and authority to do what he is asking you to do. Those are the hallmarks of the kingdom of heaven. These are the things that you can expect when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that those things will then be a part of your life. Well, there's also monetary considerations or financial considerations. What is money? It's just a representation of life. Our life doesn't consist of the abundance of our possessions, but our life consists of the abundance of what is in our heart. And so we need money. There's no question about that. You have to trade money for electrical bill. You have to trade money for your gas bill. You have to trade money for your car. And so money is just a medium of exchange, but it is a representation of what's going on in your heart, and how you spend your money is very important to God. How you receive your money is important to God. Some people make their money selling drugs or doing illegal things, and other people make their money in an honest and upright way. And so money is a very good indicator of where you stand with God and where you stand in the kingdom of God. And so We're looking in Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 16, a man comes to Jesus. Now, behold, one came and said to Jesus, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life, or that I may enter the kingdom of heaven?" And so Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." The man said to Jesus, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Let me repeat that, verse 21. Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, that is not sinless, doesn't mean sinless. It means if you want to be mature in your faith, mature in your kingdom walk, mature in your kingdom assets. He says, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. So we can see from this scripture that the kingdom of heaven includes storing your treasure in heaven. There's a treasury in heaven, just like you have a bank account, just like you have a credit card account. There's a treasury in heaven. Some of you may never have thought of this before, but if you go to church every Sunday, you'll notice they take up an offering. Some people don't go to church because that's not what they want to do. They don't want to give any money into the offering plate. In fact, they curse the offering and they say there's no good reason to be giving to that church. They just go waste that money for this or that. And so for that reason, they stay away from church. But Jesus says, if you want to be perfected, if you want to be mature, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. In other words, you can start putting into your bank account in heaven instead of putting it into the bank account here on the earth. You put into your bank account in heaven the treasury, the money that you accumulate here on earth. And how do you do that? You give to the poor, you give to missionaries, you give to the church, you give to charitable projects. We have the orphanage home, the children's home here in Kenya. And beloved, there's times it gets to be a great challenge for me to keep all those children fed and keep the wheels turning out there, keep children in school. School fees are a big challenge here for everybody in Kenya. And so, but I keep doing it. I keep reminding myself to do that as the Lord provides for me freely. I have been given, so freely I receive and freely I give. And it's the same for you. If you want to support the children's home, if you want to support missionaries, you want to support a radio broadcast, a TV broadcast, your local church, you are storing up treasure for yourself in heaven. And you say, well, how am I going to reap that treasure? How am I going to get that reward for that treasure? Beloved, when you get to heaven, you're going to see your mansion prepared for you. And that mansion is going to be built according to the treasures that you have stored up in heaven. And so your reward is a heavenly reward. It's not just salvation. Yes, salvation is the primary reward. It is the ultimate reward, but there's even more added to salvation. There's even more added to that blessing of being in heaven for all eternity, and that is the rewards, the crowns of righteousness that you receive, the crowns of glory, and the mansions that are built for you. They are being prepared for you right now as I speak, according to what you have sent on to heaven and what you have given into the treasury of heaven. Well, that brings up a big challenge for us here in America, because many people have a lot of money here. People work hard here. I praise God for that. If you're working hard for your money, God knows that. If you're a drug dealer or you're stealing for money, God knows that as well. But I praise God if you're working hard for your money. But the challenge for us here in America, and not just in America, we have the same challenge here in Kenya. Even though the people are poor, many people work 24/7. They don't have time to go to church. They don't have time to read their Bible or pray. The challenge for us is to not let money become our God, not let the pursuit of money become an idol to the point, to the extent that we don't recognize that God is the source of our wealth, that God is the source of our money. And beloved, it's easy to do. You get on the rat race and you're working 10, 12 hours a day. You come home, you're exhausted. You don't have time to pray. You don't have the energy, you don't think, to pray or to go to church on Sunday. And so this is the challenge, because the lure of money and the lure of riches and the lure of accumulating things, material things here on the earth, becomes an all-encompassing lifestyle. It becomes an all-encompassing life, and it consumes our energy, it consumes our time. And the first thing you know, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years go by, and you have done nothing to put treasures in heaven. All your treasures are stored up in your garage or at your golf course or out at the lake. All of your treasures are stored up in your own pursuit of money, and you've done nothing for the kingdom of God. And so when the young man heard that Jesus said, sell all you have and give to the poor. When the young man heard that, verse 23, he went away sorrowful, for he had many great possessions. And so that's a picture of us in the USA. For the most part, people in the USA have very nice houses, they have nice cars, we drive on nice roads, and everything is pretty well fixed up in the material realm. And so we have great possessions, and so we are sorrowful when Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. And Jesus said in verse 23, then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And it's not impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's not unheard of. I have many friends who have a lot of money, and they support this ministry. Praise God for that. And you can too. And if you have never supported this ministry or any ministry or your local church, you need to do that. But God is the source of our wealth. He is the one that gives us the power to make wealth. And especially for us in the U.S., you didn't choose where you were born. You didn't get to pick the place where you were born. You could have been born in Africa and scramble and scrape for every shilling that you make. And half the time, you don't have money to put food on the table, and you don't have money to buy a decent set of clothes. And that is the lot for people that I deal with here in Africa. Many of them are very, very poor. But those in the U.S. have been blessed beyond description, and they have been blessed to the point where they have a lot of excess money, buy second houses, buy second, third, and fourth cars. And so this is a challenge for us in America to separate ourselves from our money and understand that money is just a medium of exchange, and it should not become an idol in our life, that the kingdom of heaven is the place where you want to store your treasure and send it on before you get to heaven. So you have crowns of glory, crowns of righteousness, and big mansions built for you in the kingdom of heaven. Well, beloved, I hope this message speaks to you. I hope you already know and have experienced the kingdom of heaven. If you haven't, you need to confess Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior. You need to say, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to enter into the kingdom of heaven to be with you and my friends and relatives who have confessed your name. And so if you would do that, if you would confess Jesus, repent of your sin, turn from your wicked ways, let me know if you make that decision today. Get into a good Bible-believing church, church where they preach the Word of God, where people study the Bible, meditate on the Bible, and pray for each other. Get into that type of a church, follow it up with Christian baptism, immersion baptism, and you are in the kingdom of heaven. You will be walking in that kingdom freely. You will receive, so freely give. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. I hope you enjoyed this message today. We invite you to partner with this ministry. We invite you to sit down and write out a check to support the projects we have going in Africa. We need about $6,000 for the crusade over in Tanzania. We pray that you would help support these missions, help support these projects, and the Lord will bless you. Freely you have received, freely may you give. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.